This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey everybody, Ben here with Visual Dev FM, back with another episode. Happy New Year! And I guess if you can call it happy with everything that's already happened this year, 2021 is not off to a good start. But anyway, I'm joined as always by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Hello.
Heyo.
And today we have a great episode for you. We're talking with Nelson from the Pixel Geek community. We're going to talk about what he's got going at Pixel Geek and some of the things that are happening. So excited for you to get to hear from him. But before we get there, as always, we're going to start with the no-code roundup. And just to be clear, we know we've been out a little bit. So like some of this stuff you might know about, some you may not. But we're going to cover quite a few things that happened before the break and just a couple things that have happened since the new year started. We're going to dive one in. So let's begin. First things first, Webflow launched its enterprise program. So I think, Webflow has been working with some bigger companies, before, but kind of making it official and announcing that it's launching enterprise. And I think this is really cool. So super happy for the team. And link in the show notes if you're going to go check out that tweet. And with it, there is, I think this is the most exciting part. There's a new wing within experts for enterprise partners. And so there was Webflow experts. Those existed. You could go on Webflow experts site, browse for people who you might want to hire to work with on a Webflow project. But now they have enterprise partners specifically. And our own Matt is one of those enterprise partners.
Exciting times. Yeah, shout out to Ethan Lewis, who just really hit the ground running when he joined Webflow to completely revamp the partners program. It is super, super great. And I actually was just talking to the team today, and we just got an enterprise lead from him that we're talking with. And so it's crazy seeing like a lot of these cool, bigger companies come over to Webflow and make that switch. And it's funny, I was just talking with a potential enterprise client last week, and they were talking about how their current system was on Contentful, and like anytime they wanted to make a change, they'd have to run through engineering, which would take 5 weeks to change. And we were showing them Webflow, and they were just like, this is insane. Like the fact that I can move without an engineering team is just awesome. And so it's going to unlock the, like, so much potential for both like small marketing teams and like one person like companies, but also like these larger enterprise companies. As Webflow, and Ben, I'm sure like you're aware, like as you guys have already seen with like, I don't know how you properly say it, like Rakuten or however you say that.
Rakuten?
Yeah.
That's Rakuten.
Super religious. Yeah.
I always want to say Rakuten though. That's what I was going to say. I want to like say it with some sort of like, I don't know, like it's something completely different, but I can't keep myself from it.
But it's cool. Yeah. We're super honored to be a part of it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So super cool. So definitely go check that out. Links in the show notes if you want to go see all that. Webflow also launched a new feature, which is nested symbols. If you've used Webflow at all, you know that you can like take anything like on the page and you can create a symbol out of it. And, so that means you can reuse it over and over and over again. And then Webflow introduced symbol overrides. So that means you can use the same element and override some of the content in it to make it more flexible. So you can have kind of reusable components. And now you can nest symbols inside of symbols. So symbols on symbols on symbols. I don't think there's a limit to how deep you can go with your nested symbols. So, absolutely go wild with this feature, but this allows for a lot of use cases. So you can have a symbol for your footer, and then, but you might have a symbol for, your logo and some copyright information that actually doesn't just belong in the footer. You put it in other places, and you can update just that symbol, and it updates every place it's sitting and living, even inside of other symbols. So this is really cool. And I think a great feature. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be really cool. It is funny to see like open up some Webflow projects that I've seen, and it's like symbol, double click, symbol, double click, symbol, double click. So I'm like, how far are we going to go? It's like Webflowception, but it's pretty fun.
Is there a limit? unlike how deep
there is
you can
no
go.
Limit.
Wow, that's awesome. The limit does not exist. Do I just quote? Yeah, actually, we're not even going to go there. No, Lacey, don't you dare judge me. She's over there in her own. Okay, you know what? No, just move on to the next point, then.
On Lacey, would you like a moment to comment?
I'll let him off this time.
Oh, okay.
Thank God. The gods have spared me.
I tried, everybody. I tried. Webflow is also launching a new 21-day course that teaches you how to build a portfolio, which is really, really cool. It's a 21-day course. Takes you through the whole process. This is really awesome. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for the course, but it is really funny. As always, Webflow crew making me laugh. I cannot wait to watch all the videos they put out for this. It's going to be really good. And then also, there was a great guide that was released back in December on how to, it was kind of a step-by-step guide on making your site accessible, your Webflow site. It seems like there's been a huge push lately by more and more people to make sure that what they're building is accessible for people who might have visual deficiencies or use screen readers. And it's awesome to see people doing that. But this is an incredible guide. If you've been like trying to figure out how do I create accessible sites in Webflow, like what are the steps I take and what do I do to make that happen? This is a great blog post for you to go jump in and check out. So link in the show notes if you want to give that a read. Airtable now has script templates. So if you're an Airtable user, you've been wanting to use some of these scripting templates or JavaScript inside Airtable and really take advantage of the power that it gives now, but you're just not someone who codes a lot and you're thinking, okay, this is great, but once again, I'm into no code for a reason. I don't know where I get started. This is really awesome because it's essentially these templates that you can take and use where they're already written up, ready for you to use in your projects. If you want to find and replace things, convert URLs to attachments or add images from Google Maps or delete duplicates, there's so many different use cases here. They have these built into Airtable now as script templates. So definitely check those out. Link in the show notes. Also, as an aside, Airtable's hiring. So if you want to work at Airtable, if you're looking to work for a no-code company, that looks like they have a lot of positions open. So definitely go check that out. Zapier now has an integration with Circle App. I know that in the no-code space, a lot of people have adopted Circle App, and you've probably wanted to be able to take all kinds of actions when different things occur in Circle or have actions in Circle when other things trigger. You can do that now. Circle has that Zapier integration, which is really cool. So definitely worth taking a look at. Have either of you, Lacey, I know you're using Circle for Wink, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I use it within the community, and I'm going to see how far I can push it to automate some other things for me. It's great.
I'm excited to play with this too. We don't have an instance of Circle, but we need one just so I can play with all those apps. I just want to see what's possible with it. Seems really cool. We didn't talk about it in our last podcast, but Zapier also connects with Amazon Honeycode too. So if you like using inferior products to build no code tools, feel free to zap your way into. I kid. I don't like Amazon Honeycode.
You are not kidding. these are shots fired, masked with a just kidding after.
Shots fired. Not a big Amazon Honeycode fan. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan.
That's going to be really awkward when Jeff Bezos comes on the podcast next week. So yeah. You're going to have to defend that.
Yeah, Ben, you really screwed up.
I forgot Jeff was coming on the show. Yeah. My bad. Can we retract this or anything? Or what are my options? Should I try to get some representation, legal representation for the inevitable lawsuit coming my way?
Of course.
All right. Well, I don't like Amazon Honeycode, if you didn't know. So just FYI. Picking back up, moving on. Well, Circle App, we just talked about them, but they crossed 1,000 paying communities within their first year. This is an incredible statistic. I in 1 year, 1,000 communities. I don't, that blows my mind that they've made that much inroads and gotten that much traction. And if you use the tool, you can kind of, you can see why. It's a really nice platform. It's slick, performs really well. I'm always curious when people launch communities. I feel like it's so hard to do now, right now. Like some people are like, they live on Facebook. Some people live on Twitter. Some people live in Slack. Some people, because they live in those spaces, don't want to have a community that they belong to in those same apps. And I feel like it's increasingly difficult to get people onto a platform that maybe they're not used to being on. So to see them like grow from 0 to 1,000 this quick is pretty special, I think. And so props to their team, because that's a really great milestone and pretty impressive. JetBoost now integrates with, we were told how to pronounce this on Twitter, Outsetta. Is that right? Can't remember.
I remember it now.
Yes, Outsetta.
Not Outsetta.
I wanted to say Outsetta just to mess with you, but Outsetta, if I remember correctly.
Well, we're just going to go with it. It's our podcast. We can say what we want. Outsetta. No, I'm just joking. Outsetta, great tool if you're going to gate content on your website. JetBoost now integrates with Outsetta. So if, just like, you know, using, you know, MemberStack, and you had, you know, a membership site and people wanted to favorite things down to the profile, all that fun stuff. Do all that with Outsetta now, which is really awesome, and JetBoost. So Chris has just done so much great work with JetBoost. Really think this is pretty awesome. He also brought in Sarwit. Am I pronouncing that right? I want to say I'm going to go with it, from No Code Lytics, to help work with him on JetBoost. And so I know there's a lot of people who use No Code Lytics, and I think that's really awesome to see Chris. First of all, Chris is already doing so much work and shipping so many things. I can't imagine him multiplying their output like this. And so hopefully it means like a lot more goodies really quickly from JetBoost in the beginning of the year. That's me crossing my fingers, hoping for it. Super cool to see that. MakerPad now has creator grants. And so creator grants for MakerPad is it's kind of like this. If you were going to launch an app and you didn't really need full fund, like you're not going for full funding, you don't need a big investment, but you do need some money to get to finish a build, to get a product off the ground, to maybe get the word out. They're grants that are from $500 to $2,000, and they make decisions within 5 days, so it's really quick. So if you're building something, when you need some funding or you need some support and you're looking for some help, this is a great way to go get some help. And I love this because I think there's so many different ways for people to go get funding and get support and to drum up support to ship things. But this is like that easy, quick fix. And I feel like there's just not a lot of this out there. So it's easy to go get that. And so props to the MakerPad team, because I really think that this is a cool, cool program.
For sure. It's worth noting that applications are currently closed due to overwhelming demand, but I'm sure they'll open it up soon again. And you're going to want to be on the lookout for that, for sure.
Thank you. Mackenzie Child, working on accessibility friendly color palettes. It's going to be a part of his Super Mega Webflow Pack. So the Super Mega Webflow Pack, supermegapack.co, it's color palettes, it's fonts, free and paid. It's made in Webflow inspiration, clonables, tools and integrations, keyboard shortcut, all kinds of cool things. If you're a big Webflow power user, this is going to be a really cool resource for you. But the accessibility friendly color palettes are absolutely amazing. And I've really complained about myself when designing is finding it difficult to find. To browse palettes that are accessibility friendly. I don't know if anybody's using Stark. That's how he built these. So Get Stark, who we had Kat on the podcast before, she runs Get Stark. Get Stark is this tool that you can include in Figma, and it works with a few different apps. where if you're designing something, you can then see what that looks like to people with different visual deficiencies, different types of color blindness. Because when people say, oh, you're colorblind, well, there's so many different ways that that can manifest itself. And so you can kind of see all the ways that's visible for folks. And for McKenzie to go through and do the work to make sure that all these color palettes are friendly for people with so many different deficiencies is really cool. So props to McKenzie. I think this is awesome. Link in the show notes. So Softer announced some updates in December, listing detail pages, new website and web app templates, copy blocks to other pages, affiliate program, file upload and forms, new block, which is Twitter feed, code highlighter, default views, and delete images and blog. So there's so many different pieces that they added here. Just a ton of them. I could read all these, but you don't want to hear me just read tweets through the entire episode. So click the link in the show description. Go check this out. Lots of cool new stuff from Softer. Definitely worth looking at. Bubble has this new series teaching the end-to-end process of building an app. They announced this in early December, and it's 103 fundamentals series. It's the 103 fundamental series, 103. I read it 103. I think they mean 103. 103 fundamental series covers the end-to-end process of building and launching your own custom app. So it's creating a database, adding user profiles, conditions, finalizing your app launch, and a whole lot more. And I think this is really great. I think I've said here many times, one of the struggles for me with Bubble is just trying to wrap my head around some of the different pieces on the front end developments, front end specifically. And so I think seeing them release this like from start to finish is really, really cool. And I actually can't wait to go through this and give it a look and see what it's like. I don't know, either you planning on going through it?
No. Well, not right now. Like I'm still pretty heads down with Adalo and getting all that done, but I definitely think eventually I will. I'm starting the year out like already at max.
Matt just stayed silent over here. He's got no opinion.
I'm sorry. I had to tend to something real quickly, but yeah, I mean, I would love to check it out. I know that at some point I will get overwhelmed with all of this stuff. So I'm trying not to overcommit this year to like checking things out like I did in 2020. And so we'll see. It's on my list. I just don't know whether I'll be able to make the time for it.
Anybody listening to this podcast, what you're hearing here is the end of burnout for some of these folks.
Yeah, right. We're finally back out of it.
Going into the year, we were all pretty tired. So
yes,
I love it. I love that view. I want to go through it. I'm with both of you. I don't know how fast I'll do it, but definitely something I plan on checking out. Bubble also had an immersed digital demo day, which this is really cool. It was showcasing no code black entrepreneurship. And there's a link in the show notes where you can go watch this, but it was a demos from a bunch of different, black creators in the no code space, which is super amazing. It was if you haven't watched the video, it's definitely worth a watch. There's lots of great stuff in there. And I want to highly encourage you to go check it out, and props to the Bubble team for putting that together. I think it's really cool. Coda launched a doc detailing the review of 2020. Also, I don't have this in the outline, but we'll add it in here. I did a video with John from Coda as well, and we rebuilt Things 3 in Coda before the end of the year just for fun. So if you're a Things user, like you use it on Mac or iPad, or if you've wanted to use it and you don't want to spend the $50 to do it, fire up Coda and you can go do that. But this doc from Coda is really great. It just kind of is a year in review. So if you kind of want to see everything that Coda had been working on, this year, and then also just some, documents and stats and some different pieces that are pretty popular and worth checking out. So for all you Coda users, a link in the show notes. Is anyone out there using Firetable? Firetable, it combines the power of Firestore with this is their catchphrase, with the simplicity of spreadsheets. So essentially it takes Firestore and puts a spreadsheet front end on it. So you can edit this database without being a code master. Really cool product.
I've literally never seen this before, the outline, but after you put it in here, and I checked out the website, this is amazing. And I have clients that are like, hey, like we'd love to use Firebase because, you know, for XYZ reasons, but like we are not that technical in terms of like, they don't, if you've ever been in Firebase and you look at like how the data is stored, it's literally like a true like tree structure. It is not a fun thing to just like try to like actively change and edit and things like that. But adding a UI component to Firebase and Firestore for that matter, I think would be greatly beneficial for both people like me that I consider myself somewhat technical and people that aren't as technical. I think both of them could greatly benefit from something like this.
What?
This one's... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What is Firestore? I don't think I've heard of it.
Firestore is like, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, but like there's Firebase is a NoSQL database, and I think Firestore is a SQL database. I believe that's the difference. They're both from Google. And
I think Firestore is NoSQL too.
Oh, it is? Okay. I could have sworn one of them is NoSQL and one of them SQL. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up, but it's just a database, a real-time database, essentially.
Yep. And from Google, and it's pretty powerful. And to be able to, like Matt said, have that front end on it, because if you've built things using it and you've not had that tool at your disposal, you know how tedious and time consuming it can be navigating it. So this is definitely on my list of things I will be giving a try very soon. And pretty excited about it. The Stacker team sent out an email before the holidays about connecting other apps to Stacker. So Stripe, Intercom, etc. So if, you know, I think they were looking for people to test this. They emailed it out, so I'm assuming we're okay to be talking about it. But, you know, you're already connecting to Airtable or Google Sheets and pulling in data, but to be able to also pull in data from Stripe and Intercom and other places and have that all in one place and have a dashboard is super powerful. So really excited to see what's coming from the Stacker team because that's pretty impressive. Y-Code. Y-Code is coming for the crown. Taylor says yes. So if you follow Taylor on Twitter, @Taylor_Odia, she tweeted, just had an exclusive demo with Y-Code. Anyone that wanted Webflow and Bubble to have a baby, well, here it is. It's the most advanced no-code solution out there. And I shared a screenshot here of the interface. So what do you guys think? Have you guys tried Y-Code yet?
No, but I see people talking about it all the time.
Yeah, I actually need to get back with their community leader. Sorry if you're listening to this, because they've offered a demo and I'm just behind on DMs. So I definitely want to see it. I've heard amazing things and I'm really interested.
Have you been?
I have seen some videos, but I have not given it a spin or had an official demo. I'm curious about it. Can I also take a shot at Y-Code right now? Am I allowed to do that? Like right after we talk about this?
This is a free reign to take a shot at anyone and anything, so long as it's not me.
That's my job. As I was investigating Y-Code and just looking a little deeper, and there is a post from Y-Code's blog, 13 no-code apps to watch in 2021. And the number one app, you want to guess what it was?
Y-Code.
Why do people do this? Like,
I just figured out why, and I kind of feel like an idiot that I didn't realize this sooner, but like it's literally for SEO purposes. They'll pull together all these. Yeah, like I didn't think about that at all. But like, I'm sorry, Lacey, that not all of us are content creators like you. Okay.
Well, so I know why they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets tweeted everywhere, and they're listed as the number one app.
You get pulled in for like Phantom Buster references and Webflow and stuff like that.
If you're making a list of the top X number of anything, and you put yourself on the list, you're 100%. Doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're 100%. Doing it wrong. I this kind of thing just goes all over me. I don't understand why people do this. So anyway, I'm excited to try Y-Code. I was not very excited about this blog post. Not that they care, but I don't know.
We'll link to it. We'll link to it in the show notes, which is probably what they want us to do anyways, but.
Oh, sweet. We'll remember that. Visly app. Visly is a tool that lets you build React components visually, which looks very interesting. So if you're somebody who's been working on, like, maybe you're one of those folks who has a lot of technical know-how and you work in React and you do a lot of work, but you'd like to have a visual designer to export React components, this is definitely worth your time. It's something you should check out. Link in the show notes if you want to see more. And if you have been using it, would love to hear from you. So it's kind of like design in Figma, build in Visly, and then take your code, your components out and put them in, you know, whatever your code editor is. So it's a Mac app, I'm pretty sure. So definitely worth checking out.
I wonder, and if anybody knows this that's listening, I wonder, if I didn't want to write React, I could use this ostensibly is what it's saying. So then yeah. I could connect that to a Dallo and create my own React component.
You could probably do all kinds of things. Yeah. Yeah. Or DraftBit or whatever.
Well,
am I allowed to say DraftBit now that you work at a Dallo?
Nope. No, I'm just kidding.
Get that name out of my mouth.
We will be as agnostic as we can. But anyway, okay.
It feels fun putting somebody else on the spot. You guys have no idea. Anytime Webflow talks about something and they don't share many details, these two are always like, let's talk about this Webflow thing. And then they want me to dive in and say things. So it's fun to put somebody else from another company now on the spot and make them defend themselves. It's great. I now get the joy that you get out of it. It's fun being in the seat. No Code Founders is starting. They're starting tutorials this year. So starting to put those up, and also a startup lab. Basically, I think Joshua said every month he's building a no-code startup and launching it and then telling people how he built it, which is really incredible.
Love that.
I think he called them micro businesses, but very cool, very amazing. Link in the show notes if you want to go check that out. So that is this week's no-code roundup. And now we're going to move on to an interview with Nelson from Pixel Geek. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, we're recording?
We're already recording. Again. We'll nice. Cut some of that. We've been talking for a while, folks. But Nelson is with us from the Pixel Geek community. And you know Nelson from so many different things. And if you're in the Webflow community, you definitely know Nelson. And so we wanted to bring Nelson on. We actually had Nelson on once before, where we just interviewed Nelson a little bit about all kinds of things. In fact, that interview was all over the place. And there'll be a link in the show notes if you want to go listen to that. But Nelson's doing some work on his own community, the Pixel Geek community. And we wanted to have Nelson in to talk about it. So Nelson, tell us about your new community and what you're trying to do there. It seems really cool.
I really felt like you were going to intro me like Troy McClure. And I know you're a Simpsons fan. Like, I'm Troy McClure. You may know
you
me
You may
from.
Remember me from.
Yeah. So Pixel Geek community. Have you been there? PixelGeek.community. And I'm trying to lead a community with empathy and honesty because you know, in society, especially with the growth, the mainstream growth of the internet, there's more fakeness in the world than ever. And now that even web design, my hobby, my pastime, my passion and career, it's becoming more and more mainstream. And with that comes people who want to get into the industry, build sites for clients, but then just leave them, you know, like here you go, churn and burn. I'm done. Give me my money. And I'm all about empathy and honesty, because it's like you have someone who needs a service. You have someone that went to you for help. Help them in an honest way. Listen to what they need help with and then give them an honest solution. And Matt, I saw one of your tweets recently saying that most people that are going to 80-20, most leads are just people who are coming in because their previous web designer or developer ghosted them.
Right. 100%. Happens so often.
And it's sad because that person who's running a business doesn't want to worry about their website. And that's why I love Webflow. I mean, there's you can create a completely customized website, super complex, but in the back end, you can make it super easy to maintain. And I feel that lots of people who are getting into web design, they're just doing it for the wrong reason. And, you know, there's a yin and yang. There's going to be the good. There's going to be the bad. But I want to teach my community. I want to grow this community in a way where it's like, okay, here is what happens when you make these design choices or structure your collections in Webflow this way. You have to really think about your client and make sure that they're well taken care of. If your clients are calling you saying, hey, can you update this part of my website for me? You did not do it right. They should not be calling you. In my honest opinion, there shouldn't be a maintenance fee for a website. You know, I don't use client billing on Webflow, to be honest. I pass the keys on everything to the client. I transfer the site to the client and say, this is yours. And on top of that, I give them tutorial videos on how to edit their and maintain their website.
So are you in the community? So I'm curious. I just have so many questions.
Yeah.
So in the community, are you teaching folks like based on lessons you've learned and walking them through how like they can kind of do those things themselves? Like, is that one of the thrusts of like what you're doing, trying to make sure people are empowered and have everything they need to be able to do this for them and for their own clients?
For the community part of my community, it's mainly just a chat board where people can get help and just talk amongst themselves about growing their business. And I'm there to help facilitate that and grow people. But starting next month, I am doing a live visual dev course, which that is where I'll teach people from end to end, from not knowing anything about web design or even Webflow to I can build a dynamic page inside of Webflow and understanding the core concepts. That's most important. And so I'm teaching people the core concepts in a honest kind of Bill Nye-ish way where I'm using Duplo blocks. I'm using my kids' Duplo blocks to explain the box model and how things fit together and what is HTML, what is CSS, in that fun way, as if I wanted to be taught when I was a kid, you know? And translating all that to help people understand, like, how important each decision you make is. When you put in a div on a page, what does that mean? Why is it there? That's more important than how do you put a div. Why did you put that div there? And to me, that's more powerful because you can take the whys, the concepts, the fundamentals that I'll be teaching and bring that over to any other future tool or any other no-code tool. Because, I mean, the concept is what will help you learn even faster.
I love that. So you have the community, mm-hmm. You have the visual dev course. Is anything else missing out of that stack that, or is it just kind of those two things hand in hand?
Those two things for now. And you know me, Ben, I do not stop. There is so many things that I want to do. And I have a cool team over at the Pixel Geek community. They volunteered their time and they're really helping me out. But I'm like, what's that dog's name from Up? Doug. It's like, ooh, squirrel. I'm like, ooh, new idea. I want to try that. Ooh, new idea. I want to try that. But I've been learning to focus in and say, you know what? I'm going to handle those ideas later. So I have so many ideas, but right now it's the community and helping them learn the basics of HTML, CSS, and Webflow. And then after that, people have been asking me, hey, what about an advanced course? Teach us how you do the things with MemberStack, Zapier, Airtable, and e-commerce. How do you do those things? I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. And then if those two work, business, like how do you take care of your clients? You know, I mean, it's, you would know this, Matt.
It's such a hard, I got a little, I mean, not backlash, but I got a little bit of pushback from that tweet where it was like, it's not the freelancer's job to do project management. And I didn't reply, but I don't agree. I thought that was an interesting thing to say. I think they said that a project manager or scrum master should be hired by the client. And I really don't think that's the mark of a good freelancer at all. Mm-mm. I think a great freelancer is both good at, so I think, I don't remember the exact tweet, and it's like probably like has a good intention behind it. But I think it was like, you hire the freelancer to be the domain master, which is fair, master of their craft. And then, but like, you can't rely on them for project management. But like, I just think a great freelancer, a great agency, anything, if you're good at your job, you're good holistically. And it's a skill. Like, it's not something that like, if you are bad at it, like you can't get better, you know, like look at someone like yourself, like surround yourself with someone like, you know, Nelson, and you'll learn about client service and how do you actually handle client relationships and things like that. I just don't really agree with the idea that a freelancer shouldn't be a good project manager. I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
Lots of thoughts. And the simplest one is be human. And this all boils down to my two words that I always use. And you'll see it on my community site. Empathy and honesty. If you're just taking the project and you're not speaking to the client, you're using someone else to be the messenger to get tasks, get edits, get feedback on the project, and it's going through a messenger, and you're not being human. You're a robot. You're here's the tasks, here's the program, okay? Like right. Coding in BASIC. Here's line 10, 20, 30, 40. Run the program.
Right.
If there's an error, report back to me.
Right.
We're not robots. We're human. Mm. Speak to humans as you would want to be spoken to. I mean, it's that whole golden rule. And so if I'm talking to a client, the user experience does not start when you're developing the site. It does not end when you're developing the site. The user experience starts with that first communication of hello.
100%. We even had a team meeting today about like first interactions with clients. It was like, I think we're going about it a little bit too like essentially we were like, there are ways to improve it. Like we need to be able to try to help everyone that comes into our inbox instead of just being like, you know, oh, we have a minimum budget of whatever. Like my goal is like with 80/20, it's like, hey, like if you're coming here for a solution, I want to help you out as best I can, regardless of what you got and things like that. And so, I love the empathy component because I think that's such an important part. And I think client service is such a tricky industry because like, it can be kind of draining in a sense, but like, it's also super rewarding, like helping people out and like also getting to do things. I mean, I'm sure you relate to that, like getting to do what you love and actually helping someone else out with like what you do. I mean, like web design, web development, e-commerce, that stuff has a very fundamental impact on someone's business. And so like, it feels good to be a part of that.
Yeah.
To me, it feels, I think there's different pieces to this. Like, so for me, it depends on, so one of my key things is always set, no matter what you're doing or who you're talking to or what you're working on, is to set expectations. And so if you plan on not taking care of a site once it's launched, before you even start the project in your very first hello, you should tell people like, 100%. Hey, once this launches, I'm hands off, by the way. I don't do anything after that. Like I kind of leave that to you, and I hope you have a technical team. And then that way, if they don't, they can say, oh, that won't work for us. So that way we're really upfront about things. But I think otherwise I'm with you. And I think there's a human way to do business where I know a business in the end, like the goal is to make money. Sure. We have to live, we have to pay bills. But I'm with you, Nelson. I hate nickeling and diming things with like afterwards on the maintenance pieces and all those different things. I'm going to charge what I think is a healthy amount to do the project, like what I think is fair. And then after that, I don't want to keep dinging people like, oh, by the way, you called me and I did this. Here's the bill for my, 20 minutes of time to do this.
Right.
And I think even more so, if I'm setting up a client for success, I've given them everything they need so they don't need to call me in for my 20 minutes of time. Like I've shown them how to do this themselves so they don't need me. And they have all the tools. And to your point, Nelson, I've built everything in a way that I've thought about them and what they're going to be dealing with so that they can do that themselves without me being there. So it's, I'm with you, Matt. I think there's probably a response there where people are like, hey, it's not my job to hold their hand forever. But I don't know. It depends. What did you tell them when you were talking to them? Like, what expectation did you set? Like, how did you communicate that? Because that's really key.
Right. One thing I really like about what Nelson said is like the training and like the videos and all of that. That's something we're trying to get like really big into, because we do it right now. We do like a few hours of training at the end of every project. We all like, and like, we'll usually do it over Zoom, and then like we'll record it and then we'll send them the video after. And then if they have questions, if it's something simple, like I got an email yesterday and it was like, hey, can I hire you to show me how to do this? And I was like, the fact that like you didn't know how to do that means like I messed up. So I was like, no, you're not going to hire us. I'm going to send you a Loom video. I'm going to give you everything you need. And like, you're just going to be on your way. And if you have questions, like ping me at any time. I tell everyone that. And cause like, that's how I think it is very much so a matter of like, how would I want to be treated if I was on the other end of this relationship? And like, it's not a nickel and dime thing. It's like very much so like, I want someone that actually gives a crap about like my project, my business, me. And I love finding clients that feel that same way towards the agency freelancer.
Can I jump in here? Because I do want to, I want to give Matt some props here. And I think it goes to the heart of what Nelson's been talking about too. So one of Matt's core, values is, when he's talking to a company, he always says, I'm going to advise you like it was my company. Like I'm not going to if I owned your company, I'm going to advise you just like I owned your company. I'm not going to give you advice that I myself wouldn't follow if I was in your shoes. And I think it's so important. And it rings true to what Nelson was saying. Like it's about, I love that. Like sometimes it's not about selling the person on the next thing or trying to get them to spend X money. It's like saying, you could hire me to do this. Let me in full honesty tell you can hire me for less to do X because you don't need me. Like you can go buy that tool and 100%. It's going to save you. And because the truth is, did you lose money there? Yeah. But guess what? They're like that company, those people, they care about me and my business. And so next time I need something, I know where I'm going. It's like instant trust. It really doesn't matter.
Again, boil it down. Those two words, Matt talking about empathy, how he wants to be treated, and Ben talking about honesty, where you're setting the expectations and telling people, do you really need my service? Because you're just, again, as with all things in life, you're planting seeds, and some of them will grow immediately and some will take years. But as long as both are growing, just plant those seeds with empathy and honesty. And I keep trying to tell people that more and more as the no code movement becomes more and more mainstream. And I mean, it's same thing with courses, you know, like when I see training material that's advertised, like I saw one, I'm not going to say who it is, I'm not going to say where I saw it, but it was, do you want to make $5,000 each month? Do you want to live in like Bali, work? And Lacey is covering her mouth. I think she's seen this ad. And I'm like, what are you doing? That is not web design. And it's why I tweeted that tweet out saying web design is not glamorous. It's not easy. It's a service to people that when you're done, it can affect so many people around the globe. And all three of you are laughing and smirking with a muted mic.
Seen this ad, and I totally agree with you.
And I'm like, what is this? You know what? Yeah. If anyone's promising you $5,000 a month for learning a course, no.
Yeah, and it once again, like, let's flip the perspective here. It almost feels predatory, in 100%.
That's a claim that is very much so not refutable. if it's not a money back guarantee on that course and promising you $5,000 a month, then maybe there's something to be concerned about there.
And the site it's on made me go, I do not trust this website anymore. Like, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. It's definitely very, I don't get it. Like, why are we selling courses this way? What are we doing, Nelson? What are we doing in the no code space? What are we doing? So I'm with you. It's definitely a weird approach, a different approach, something that I don't believe in. So I'm with you. You talk about honesty, empathy. You talk about the courses. You talk about a few different things, but I do want to cover a few. So first of all, it's pixelgeek.community. So correct. We want to get people there. First of all, second of all, Nelson just crossed the line. Well, not just, it's pretty to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. So really like thriving and growing in an incredible way. And it really blows my mind how like just how much influence and how much work you're doing and how it's really paid off. I'm so impressed by what you've got going. I would love for you to talk just a little bit before we jump into your YouTube channel and your streams. Like, here's your pitch. You've got the whole podcast, like, listening. Why should we come join your community? Like, what makes your community different? Can you talk a little bit about, like, ins and outs, day-to-day, and what it looks like?
Right now, it's just starting, you know. And there are many communities out there for the no-code world. And mine is just like any other. But the unique part is that I don't want to just show you how to do something. I don't want to just answer your question. I want to be there for you because it's not just a safe space for asking no code questions, but also, again, honesty and empathy. How do I deal with the issues that I'm dealing with right now, whether it be with a client, your business, your career? I've had over 15 years of experience in the web design industry, from being a HTML email developer to a webmaster. Remember those days? And then web designer. And I've been through it. I've been through the recession. I've been through the ups and downs of being laid off and going through weird companies. And I want to tell you what a friend had told me today. It's okay. And I'm here to listen. And when there's more people listening with empathy before they speak and give solutions with honesty, it makes the world of a difference in someone's mind. And I want to help people feel empowered and inspired to take that next step into something they're scared of, because people have done that for me. And because I'm not one to hold in these feelings or these gifts that were given to me by people, I want to give it back as much as possible.
I love that so much. Like that just speaks to me on such a deep level, because I think especially in sometimes in these like online communities, it's all about the hustle. It's all about the highs. It's all about, and those are bad things, you know, but it takes away from our humanity. And, I don't like that. And so that's one thing we've started doing inside Women in No Code, is like just having open time to like share and talk with one another about things that are not work related. Like I had a call with everyone and just talked about some things that I experienced last year, that were really hard for me. And their response was so kind and good. And then they then felt like they could share, because it wasn't just a community of women in no code. It was, we're going deeper than that. And I think I love to hear you say that. I just props to you on that.
Thank you. I mean, in the end, we're all just human. And what helped me learn more about empathy was my wife's postpartum depression. She went through it really hard, and being a husband and wanting to fix everything quickly, I wasn't listening with empathy, and I wasn't speaking with honesty. I was hearing something, but I'm like, oh, okay, let me give a quick solution. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you do this? Until finally she broke down and said, stop trying to fix me. And I realized the more I try to fix without listening, the worse the problem got. And you just have to trust in the world, pray to your God, or meditate or whatever, that other person, if you just listen and just listen and just listen, they will figure it out. And that's the hardest part. And Lacey, you being a mom, watching your kid fall, you have to learn to not cringe or whatever. You're like, they're going to figure it out. They're going to stand up on their own and dust it off. If they need help, I trust they will ask me for it and I will be there. And as humans, that is a hard thing to do, to not fix something and just help someone grow when they're ready to ask for it.
I love it. I don't know. Yeah, it's good. People are going to think that we're really belaboring the point here, but you know, it's kind of like one of those things. How there's no substitute for actually caring for people. You know, they're like, how do you build a community? It's like, well, you can gain things all you want and get people in the door, but that doesn't mean you have a community, right? Like it's the sense of community comes with the trust and that care for one another and that sense of belonging that comes with, you know, being a part of a group. And there's nothing more fun than being a part of an online community. I can say this, like over the years, I've been a part of a few of these where like you join a community and it's like, I love being here because every time I post something, people get me. Like the responses make me laugh or they make me cry or they boost my spirits, or it's like these people just really understand who I am and where I'm at. And you know, you can do a lot of things to get people in the door, but you can't replace that ability to care for somebody and to really truly see them as people. Right. And, I feel like that's kind of what you're hammering home. And it just goes right back to your points, honesty, empathy, right? Like it's those two things that really matter.
Yeah. You can't fake it and you can't sell it and say, hey, we're going to empower you in the next 5 minutes. Yeah.
And you're going to earn $5,000. That's what's going to happen.
I'm sorry to go back to that, but I mean,
it's pretty, It turned my stomach when I saw that. I'm just gonna say
really bummed. People are Googling it right now and they're like, oh my.
It's true. No guarantees. So that's like kind of community. That's where you're at. I love hearing that. I love hearing about the course. Talk a little bit about, like, your YouTube channel is blowing the freak up. Like, talk a little bit about, like, some of the streams you got coming, like goals for 2021. What can people expect from Nelson?
I wouldn't say it's blowing up. I think it's a nice steady fire, you know, a fire log going. And I just kept on adding a little bit more logs over and over because it took 7 years to get here. Okay.
So here's what I'll say. I feel like I see more of your videos without looking for them than I ever have before. I just feel like I keep coming across Pixel Geek stuff and I'm like, this is great. Like, I don't know what's causing this to happen, but I'm a fan. Like, keep suggesting these videos to me, please.
All right. I guess it's blowing up. Yeah, I have been adding more and more videos in. So again, if you haven't been to my YouTube channel, it's mainly about how to do stuff in Webflow, things that I figured out that I usually do for clients, or things that I'm like, I hear questions about, like, how do you do this? How do you do that? So I make short tutorial videos. But more importantly, every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific time, I do live streams because on one part, there's two reasons why I do live streams. One is because I'm lazy. I'm lazy to edit. I don't like editing video. It takes too long. And two, I like to fail in public. And that, I keep saying these words, but I mean, that is my brand. I want to show the honesty of web design. It's sometimes not fun. And I want to show people that even me, who's been web designing since I was 13 and I'm 38 now, like, it's still a struggle. And there are times where I'm like, I thought I know how to do this. Now I don't. Okay, let's figure it out together. It's kind of like when I like to equate it to sports games, like watching football or soccer, where you'll sit there for hours watching your team do great plays or miss or fail or fall. And you wait for that next play that's going to be even greater, because when you see them fail, and then you see them figure out how to be more successful in the next play or the next quarter, then you're like, oh my God. And then if your team wins, you were there from the very beginning. But then there's also people who are like, I don't got time, but I'll watch the highlights. So it's been trimmed down to like 10 minutes or like a top 10 plays of the day. So that's why I live stream. Because I'm like, you can have the full experience. Stay with me in the live chat. Ask your questions while I'm doing this. There's times where I ask the live chat, like, how do you do this? Can someone Google it for me? Because I'm getting confused. And I get answers. And so you're there with me. And then I make stream clips out of that. And there you go.
And that's, I love it. Your one this last week was a little different. How to choose the right Webflow template. That's a really great topic, by the way. There's not enough people covering that little nugget of gold.
Yeah, it came to me because, like, there's people, I see tweets and whatnot, and they're like, can you change a template on Webflow? And they're used to things like Squarespace or WordPress, where it's like, I can just choose a different theme, buy another theme, and then click switch. Cool. Webflow is not like that though. And so, and then people get confused, like, how do I edit this animation or whatnot? And when people aren't really that versed into Webflow, they get enticed by the imagery, by the fancy animations and the interactions. And it's like, yo, slow down. You got to know that what you're getting into before you even press purchase.
Right. Do you, I saw one of your tweet replies the other day and I wanted to ask you about this. I think someone had tweeted, they were like, should I use Webflow to build my Webflow or Squarespace to build, or no, I think I said, should I use Webflow to build my site, or one of the two? Yeah. And you replied, it depends, or something like that. Yeah. I assumed your answer would be Webflow. Can you elaborate why it was Webflow or Squarespace and it depends?
So imagine telling the whole world you own for the rest of humanity, you can only choose one pizza topping. Everyone has to agree to it. Ready, go. It's never going to happen.
Cheese.
Get out of here. You're booted off the island.
No, it's pineapple.
Okay. All right. We're ending the Zoom calls. Nice knowing Thanks, guys. You guys. But sorry, continue.
That's okay. Yeah. There's so many different use cases out there. There's so many budgets. There's so many variables to every project. You cannot just say, use this for everything you do.
100%.
Squarespace is great. To me, it's great for people on a budget who don't really want to fully customize their templates. And so go there. And Squarespace, they advertise on the Super Bowl. So they're targeting the general market. Hey, right. If you're a person who wants to sell clothing, go to Squarespace. You can get a website up really quickly. Congratulations. And it's like, you know what? If that works for them, good on you.
Yeah.
But if you want to go to Webflow and you're going to go to a client, go to a Webflow expert or 80/20, then you know the value of design. You, as a client, you understand the value of design. You know how much of an impact the user experience creates, and you want it to have that polished look, you know, like, and so you would go to someone who uses Webflow to customize all of that for you. You can think of it as like a cheap PC. You know, you can get a laptop, like a simple laptop for $200, $300, you know, and it'll work just fine. But is it really that powerful? Where you have PC laptops, they're like around 1,000 and they're powerful enough to do a lot of stuff. But then they're probably as powerful as some of the MacBook Pros or something, right? But Apple can sell their stuff for $2,000 because they got that polished feeling and their OS has that polished look and all that stuff. And so you go to them. So fast food versus Michelin star.
It's for me, yeah. It's really like, I have this conversation with a lot of people, like even in the no code space, especially, like, you know, like, hey, I'm working on this thing. What tool should I use? And they explain this setup and they've already been working on something and they've proven the product is going to work. Like, they could sell this. And then they come back and they're like, now what do I do to make it really scale? I'm like, quit using no code. Like, you proved it's going to work. Like, it's time to like, take it to the next level. Like, some, in some ways this won't last forever. There are some limitations and that's okay. Right. It's like, and it's so funny how resistant people are to that idea, or of the idea of like, this one tool I was really dialed into and I really want to use it. It's like, okay, well, you can use it, but you know, a jackhammer is not the best way to hang a picture on the wall. Like, that's just not, it's not what you need. You know, you need a hammer. Like, go pick the right tool. And so I love that. I love that viewpoint. And it really does get me how some people, like, for me, no code is about, one, I can build fast. I like building sites in Webflow. There's no doubt. Like, it's my favorite tool to use, hands down. But there are times when I don't need that tool. And also there are times when, like, if you've got an app idea and you've built it with no code, like Webflow and Zapier and Airtable and, you've proven that you can make money off of this. It's time to like maybe go see if you can find funding or find a coder who wants to partner with you and co-found this thing with you and like take it to the next level. And people are just like, no, quit using no code, never. And it's like, well, no, you use it to validate the next idea. Like you don't have to, it's okay to move to the next thing. But some people get super resistant about it. And I've yet to understand why. Or like even when they say things, it's like, oh, there are platforms that are built to do this, that what you're trying to do, that you could go, now that you've earned money from this tool to start, you could pay for and take it to like 10x of what you're doing. So it's always weird to me when I see that.
People think things are very black and white or mutually exclusive when in reality, it's 100% what you said. It's like, you can continue build, like you can still use Zapier. It's just like, hey, your thing that is doing like 500,000 tasks a day, you should probably like put that on a server and write your own code for that. Like it just doesn't make sense to continue doing that in Zapier, but you know, teach their own.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Nelson, I can't say thanks enough for coming on and talking with us and talking about your community. I'm so excited for what you have going. And it's just, look, every time I see the community and see people talking about it, it's so incredible. You got a cool group and of people. And so if you're listening to this, if you're not a part of Pixel Geek community, pixelgeek.community, sign up, go jump in, become a part, and definitely make sure you're checking out Nelson's streams and everything he's got going. And then the course that you're running in February, is it full? How do people, if people want to be a part of that, what do they do?
So I'm starting a business is so new to me. Like hiring all these people, like it's so new. And so I hired a marketing person who did a 30-day plan and a copywriter. And I'm like, oh my God, this is pretty fun. This is amazing. And it's scary. So this is my first time running this type of thing. And I'm just jumping in and it scares me. But again, I want to fail in public, but also teach everyone in the way I want to be taught. So this coming February, it's a live visual dev course, maximum 15 students, because I want to make sure that I'm there for each person and answer your questions live for the 20 hours. Then right after that, you'll have access to a chat board where you can still talk to me and continue growing, and I want to see your progress. So yeah, more information will be at pixelgeek.community/VDC.
Awesome. So definitely go check it out. Once again, thank you, Nelson, coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And I feel like we should end with a Troy McClure quote. Like,
well, first I want to say mad props to, or happy props to Lacey for, I forgot which gig you got. You got into a notebook company.
Yeah. So I work for Adalo now.
Adalo, yes.
Yeah.
So congrats to you. And then like, because like this, between the first time I was on the podcast to now, I mean, Lacey got a job. And then when I saw the tweet that Matt became the CEO and it was Andrew tweeting that, I was like, yo, what? That's a perfect
match. Thanks, man. Thanks. That means a lot. That really does mean a ton. I mean, I'm sure for Lacey as well. Like, that's very kind of you to say.
Yeah, congrats.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adalo got a real one and Andrew Wilkinson got Matt. And so, wait, no, I'm just joking.
I wouldn't have even said that.
I'm just joking. I was so stoked for Matt. And I think it's for people who followed Matt, what he did with Webster Peace and how he brought that along and to come to a place to be acquired by Andrew, just so cool. So, I know this podcast is really like, everybody on this podcast is killing it. It's unbelievable. So
you Matt too, as well, Ben, you too, this podcast has grown so much.
I just try not to screw things up. That's my job. Like, just don't screw anything up. That's what I do
for all the exact opposite. At this point, Ben is the thing holding Lacey and I together because we just fight every episode. I personally messaged Lacey in this episode and I said I hate you with all my heart. That is not a lie. I did tell her that. So
What we should start doing is recording these episodes after we've all had a drink or two, because it would be super entertaining.
Lacey's saying no because we did that once, and I have
all for me.
So. I have gifs to share, but Lacey won't let me. So Twitter, do your thing.
Peanut butter.
Okay, get out of here. Twitter, do your thing. Tweet at her and let me share these gifs.
Gifts.
Thank you, Nelson. Thanks so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, that means a lot.
And good luck with your course. We know you're going to crush it. So
thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Deuce.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdev.fm.